up, sports fans, and welcome back to Low Expectations, the Gruter Golf Podcast, presented by the No Laying Up Podcast Network. Tonight we've got Kiki.
Good evening.
And me, Jen. And poor smell for Haley, because she's unable to join us tonight. Am I really loud?
No.
Okay, good. Well, you sound a little bit loud. Anyway, I forgot to also tell you before we get started, I bit the same part of my mouth like five times this weekend, and so it's like swollen right here. So if I'm talking weird, that's why.
Okay.
Just so you know. Okay, so tonight we're doing actually the same thing that we did last week, which is just recording a quick cold open, as they call it, to introduce our episode for tonight, which is from Bradford Wilson, and we recorded this a few months ago, and it was really, really fun. And then the same thing happened as with Colin. We just got completely over our skis and the editing fell behind, and that's on me. But we're back and we're making it up to you tonight. So before we kick things off, we want to remind you, of course, it is October now and it is officially candy corn season, everybody. You know what that means. We've got two candy corn classics coming for you. The first ever Boston outdoor outing is going to be Saturday, October 16th at Widow's Walk in Scituate. And the New York City, where it all began, Clearview Park in Queens, the 23rd. Why are those always so hard for me?
October 23rd. It's a lot of dates for us this fall.
It's a lot of dates, a lot of numbers. We all know I'm not like into math. But yeah, we've got those coming up. Tickets are on sale at grutergolf.com. Lightly Halloween themed, as Halloween as you want to make it. You can be the friend that doesn't dress up. You can be the friend who goes way too hard. Whatever you want to do. I'm also, if you're looking to come in Boston, I'm looking into a party bus as transportation. So if you're interested in that, reach out. Trying to get a head count for Gideon, my party bus guy. So, anyway,
we haven't done that in a while.
We really haven't. We started out with a lot of party buses.
Yeah, that was like
we
the
used
main
to take a party
thing.
Bus as our usual form of transportation for a while, because Gideon would do $10 a head if you didn't have a booking, mm-hmm. which was pretty yeah. sweet. So you could, you know, that was, you know, the same as a cab, just about when you cram six people into one. So, you know,
yeah.
worked out. So Kiki, you played golf this weekend, right?
I did. I played on Saturday. It was a very peaceful round, actually. It was just me and Adam. I played pretty well.
Nice.
Well, I mean, the drives were good. The rest of it was okay. It was okay. But it was a beautiful, beautiful fall day. I mean, fall golf is pretty, pretty special. It really was nice. It really was.
Any foliage yet, or is it too soon for that?
Yeah, the leaves in Westchester, New York aren't like fully turned like colors yet, but yeah. you could see that they're starting, and like it starts to get kind of annoying, you know, like your ball is like under the leaves yeah. a lot. So that was starting to happen, but it wasn't like too bad yet. It was a really nice afternoon.
Wow. That's lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm planning to play this weekend. I don't know where yet. Might scope out Widow's Walk for the event next
week. Oh, yeah, you should.
We don't get to play. So
yeah, and I would love to know about it.
Yeah, so maybe I'll
I heard
go
it's really hard.
I have heard that too. So I think maybe if it is like way too difficult, I might even like suggest a more intense version of a scramble. Somehow. I don't really know. We'll have to kind of work on that. But I'm also making progress on my goals list that are kind of Gruter Golf related goals. I did two of them at the airport last weekend because I went to Florida for my friend Gina's wedding. Congratulations to Gina and Tommy. A beautiful, beautiful time. But I was like, you know, I have an hour at the airport. I'm sitting down to get some food and I'm going to accomplish some of my goals. So I texted Lee Kang, Megan King's dad. I'm going to try to take a lesson from him. Could have done it last weekend, but he was like, are you around this weekend? I was like, I'm actually not.
Does he want you to just do like one, or does he want you to buy a package?
I mean, I am going to, he's going to be my coach.
So it's going to be an ongoing relationship.
Yes, definitely. That's the beginning. It's really the beginning. That's why I think I've like put it off for so long. Cause I know that like once I start, I'll need to continue to go, you know? So I've given myself this grace period. It's like, these are like the dying days of me being like so terrible. So just remember that every time you're playing with me, you know, that you turn a corner soon and I'll be a different person.
I can't wait.
And another kind of more like applicable to the airport one is I was thinking about how often I was at the airport over the past year. And I signed up finally for TSA PreCheck. So I'm
I really have to do that.
All you have to do, okay, it doesn't take long at all. You don't even need to like provide any documentation for the pre-screening thing. You just make an appointment to go do it.
Okay. By the next time we record, I will have my appointment.
That's next week.
Yeah.
So you got to do it. It's really quick. And then you just have to go to a Staples. So I have to do that part. I will try to do that because I'm here this weekend. I'm going to do that this weekend, even though they're probably closed on Indigenous Peoples Day. I'll try to get that done anyway. I'm going to make a concerted effort. So pretty exciting.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
I really need so that. I think about it every time. I feel like such a peasant. Literally every time.
There's like no reason not to. It is kind of a shakedown though, because I think it's like what, like $100? And just theoretically, well, I just don't like the pay to play.
Yeah, but that sounds worth it though.
It's worth it, but like, isn't that a little bit unfair though? Like what? Like, does that like, I know that technically then you have a decreased chance of like doing something shady, but like, do you though?
Yeah, probably not.
You know, like what if, I don't know, it feels intuitively a little bit unfair, but
yeah,
but I'm going to do it.
Yeah,
I'm going to do it and then look further into it. Speaking of looking further into it, some big news released today about the ANA Inspiration, which will now become in 2022, I think. In 2022, the ANA is going to become the Chevron Championship. So that's exciting, and it's going to stop it. They're going to host it not at the, wait, I need to restart this because I need to bring up my notes because I forgot everything. I closed out the window and I have no idea what. Oh yeah. Speaking of, what were we speaking of?
Improvements.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of improvements, breaking news from our girl Beth Ann Nichols at Golf Week, and also just, you know, huge news today in general, that the ANA Inspiration is moving and is going to now become the Chevron Championship. So it's going to stay at the Dinosaur course at Mission Hills. Wait, we'll stay at the Dinosaur Tournament course. Okay, yeah, that's what it's called. Okay. Wow, fuck. So it's going to stay at the Dinosaur Tournament course at Mission Hills in Palm Springs, I'm pretty sure, for 2022, right ahead of the Masters. And ANA will stay as a partner for next year, but then in 2023, they might move it. It's going to become the Chevron, and the purse increases from $3.1 million to $5 million. So that makes it...
Let's go!
KPMG and the PG and the Evian.
That's sick.
Yeah, so it's pretty great. That's pretty great.
Do you know why ANA is not the title sponsor anymore? Like, not it was renewing. There some...
Well, they made a big deal last year about, like, oh my god, it was so great of ANA to host two majors, because they did the ANA twice, like, during the pandemic, despite the fact that the transportation company took a pretty big hit. So maybe it's a financial move. There's not as much extra dough laying around. But Chevron, I mean, you'd have to imagine that this was probably in the works, like, while Mike Wan was
there. For a while, yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. It's not like randomly Chevron was like, hey, do you guys have a tournament we could maybe sponsor? They were just like, you know what? We're thinking about getting into the... Actually, it's their first women's sports partnership.
Wow.
Like, ever. So,
that's
apparently,
cool.
They share a lot of the same international goals. What was the quote? It was kind of a funny quote. Because I was like, oh, are they? I never really thought that like Chevron and the LPGA had a lot in common, but I guess they do. The global nature of the LPGA and the shared core values made the partnership a natural fit. So yeah, you know, LPGA, Big Oil, I always thought this is a natural partnership. I mean, I don't know. Okay, I don't really know that much about Big Oil, but I
feel
like it's a negative connotation that I had, which then I was like, you know, this was right before we were recording this that I was kind of looking into this. So I was like, I literally think I Googled, like, is Chevron bad?
And?
Is Chevron evil?
What did you find?
Okay, the first page of Google results was, like, I mean, it was mostly, like, Reddit and stuff. So it wasn't, like, there was no, like, Vox article about, with that title, at least. But Warren Buffett says no, that they're fine. Basically, that was the only really reputable source that I saw. He's a major shareholder, and when his board was like, hey, should we be investing in big oil? He was like, shut up, basically.
Okay.
Well, he was like, listen, I don't make it a thing to look into the values of the companies I'm invested in. That's kind of what he said, which I was kind of surprised about. Huh. I kind of thought, right?
Yeah, very.
But
yeah,
I guess not. But ANA was only the title sponsor since 2015, and they replaced Kraft Nabisco. Because I was also trying to think, I feel like we've talked about this on here before. Like, I don't know, like, why aren't there kind of more, like, normal sponsors? Like, normal, cool sponsors.
Yeah.
Like, the Beats by Dre. Yeah. Open, like, the Nike, like, Adidas, the Adidas Invitational. I can't say the Nike Invitational.
There is a reason for it. I feel like I sort of know the. I'm going to look. That's another, like, thing I'm going, like, to look into.
What about
into.
Like, the Spotify Open? You know, like, that would be cool. But, like, yeah. What other companies do you think are cool? Like, I was then going through this and I was like, I guess most, like, major multinational corporations that, like, I can think of, like, I don't think I think of them as being, like, cool or good. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. They're just, like, so corporate and, like, boring. Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know, Amazon, I feel like that would have its own issues. Like, yeah. any big company, and actually, this was what Warren Buffett said, too. If you look too deep into any company, you could find something not to like.
I'm sure, yeah. I mean, if you look into us, any person, you could find something though. That...
Probably not us.
Maybe.
But maybe.
But maybe.
So, yeah, I don't know. It was just, like, kind of weird. But it's also, it's a huge deal that they're going to move it from Mission Hills, because it's, like, a very historic event. Like, this was its 50th year, and the LPGA doesn't really have that many, like, long-standing tournaments that stay in the same place and are the same time. And, you know, it's just a little bit more of, like, a fluid schedule. Okay, but the other thing, and this is one of the last things that I'll say. This is – I was just kind of digging deep into this right before. So the first purse at this time, it was the Colgate Dena Shore Winner's Circle. That's what they called it. Was $110,000 at a time when the average purse on tour was roughly $30,000. These are the words of Beth Ann Nichols. And then I was curious then, because I was like, oh, I wonder what the men were making at that point. And for comparison's sake, at the 1972 U.S. Men's Open, the total purse was $194,600. So that's, like, not that far off. And the winner of that made $30,000. And guess who it was?
In what year?
1972.
I don't know.
Jack Nicklaus.
I should have guessed that.
It was like what I wouldn't have expected you. I wouldn't have expected you to guess it if it was the runner-up, Bruce Crampton. I figured like famous golfer. But yeah, I was like, oh wow. But yeah, so maybe that's another future episode I want to do. It was kind of the history of you know, compensation and everything. And guys, as a teaser too, this is another little tidbit that I ran across today. Just in passing, we're going to do a major deep dive into Babe Zaharias next week.
Yeah.
And if it sounds sinister, that's because
she was a dick.
It's going to be. It sounds like she was an asshole. So
she was a dick.
That's what's going to make it fascinating. So, yeah, I'm very excited to kind of get that book report going probably tonight, because it just sounds really, really crazy. So, yeah. So that also means... We made a big deal this year about the bathrobe thing and about the jumping in the Poppy's Pond. This year will be potentially the last year they'll do that. Aww. So whoever jumps in 2022 will be one of, like, the last people to do it. Isn't that crazy?
That is
sad. But maybe,
sad.
I don't know, maybe they'll keep it, but they don't have to. And there are talks of moving it to Houston, because that's where Chevron has about 8,000 employees. Right? Something about it just seems sinister. Like, it just, I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. Guys, weigh in with how you feel about it. I know it's obviously a great thing, right? It's a major corporate sponsor.
Yeah, more money for the winner. That's good.
More money for the players. You know,
a lot more money.
Oh, there's also going to be, they're going to move to NBC.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, so it's all really good things, right? But, like, it's, yeah.
I mean, moving to NBC and $2 million more dollars is sick.
No, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I think so, too. I wonder what, okay, if you guys know anybody who's Gen Z, tell them. I want them to weigh in. I feel like that's kind of the way that I'm, like, thinking about it. Yeah. I mean, I know obviously, like, fossil fuels are still ubiquitous and, you know, whatever. Anyway, so, yeah, that's the news of the day. And that's pretty much all we got. But, oh, you guys are really going to love the Bradford episode. So when we talked to him, this was literally from March. So, Brad, we're sorry. But he has really been, like, doing a lot.
Yeah.
He's been on commercials. He started a podcast called Group Golf Therapy, which is, quote unquote, golf's safe space. And it's a podcast about the intersection of golf and mental health. It's really, really so enjoyable. He does it with Connor Lobenstein and Drew Westfall, also known as at the Bag Bandit and at Everyday Drew. And they're all just really lovely. Very thoughtful conversations, which obviously you won't be surprised after hearing today's episode that Bradford Wilson now has a, you know, a thoughtful and enjoyable podcast, because he was a very thoughtful and enjoyable person.
For sure. He was really great. We had a lot of laughs.
A lot of laughs. A lot of laughs.
A lot of laughing.
So without further ado, here is Bradford Wilson.
Yay.
You're going to love it. We've got a fantastic show for you tonight, and it's Friday. So we're all getting a little loose, and early on the record, I'm going to say that we're going to edit with a light hand on this one. So buckle up, because we've got Bradford Wilson of at Bradford Wilson Golf on the pod tonight. You might know him as the guy who released a video series called Dear Golf in January of this year. And it literally felt like a prayer answered. It's a coherent, cutting, and hilarious takedown of the golf world, particularly on the internet where we all live. And it is on the shortlist for best picture this year, if you ask some people. We're going to talk about that later on in the show. So if you have not seen parts 1 and 2 of Dear Golf, we've put the link in the show notes for your viewing pleasure. And we're going to give you a second to check it out to refresh your memory right now. So go. All right. You're back. Now that we're all on the same page, Bradford Wilson, a warm welcome to Low Expectations.
Wow. that is the warmest welcome of all of the welcomes.
We try. We're so happy to have you. I've really been looking forward to this for a little while now, really ever since we first saw the video in January. First thought was like, all right, how do we become best friends with this man? So welcome to the friend group. So first of all, you are a bona fide actor. You live in LA and you're an actor. Do you have any vocal warm-ups that you can recommend to us before we get started in the pod?
I've slid that in there a few times, you know, that I am an actor. The only vocal warm-up that like really comes to mind, and this is going back to literal third grade. We had this music teacher named Miss Fiducioso.
You're allowed to do it. Yeah, okay. Let's hear it. Yeah.
Good morning to you, Miss Fiducioso. Miss Fiducioso. Miss Fiducioso. Good morning to you, Miss Fiducioso. How are you?
Love it. Excellent. Really,
that is honestly a pretty good one. I've subjected people to mine in the past, and we won't do that again.
Have you done it on an episode yet?
I think I have. I think
you cut it out, or we did it before we were recording. Will you do it?
Just do it.
Many mumbling mice are making midnight music in the moonlight. Mighty nice. And that's it. Mr. Sullivan and Ms. Hennessy.
Just that. It's the range. It's the range.
Well, I was asking Bradford. I've been asked so many times to like not sing. So it's nice. I always say yes when I'm asked to sing. But I was asking you because did you go to acting school or anything? Or did you just, I know we're getting into the acting later, but I kind of want to know now.
Like conservatory or like undergrad? No. But when I moved here, I did take some classes. So I have been given some instruction. The rest has just been me playing around until something stuck.
The best kind. That's, you know, yeah. method, yeah. as they say.
Exactly.
training in life. I was a big fan of the show Barry on HBO, so that's kind of why I'm fascinated by acting classes, especially in LA.
And I'm going to tell you that it's very accurate.
Really?
Bill Hader has clearly been to every single hole in the wall acting class, acting school in Los Angeles, because the caricature that Henry Winkler played was spot on.
So good. Those guys really take themselves
way too seriously.
I love that.
Yeah.
Our second question. So we're obviously journalists now, and we do our research, and I think it's your girlfriend's birthday today. So do you want to give her a happy birthday shout out?
Baby, I love you.
Are there any big plans for tonight, or how is LA looking right now in terms of COVID?
When's this episode come out?
A couple weeks, maybe.
It'll be okay. So not like today. She's going to listen to the podcast today. But so we being myself and her best friend have coordinated a large Zoom call of all of her best friends from all over the country. And she gets home tonight kind of late, but most of them have agreed to stay up and join us on the Zoom because she works a lot. She's a very, very busy woman, but this is the time we can do it. And hopefully when she does have time off, we're able to travel a little bit. We'll see. Fingers crossed.
That's so nice.
That's fun. Where to first?
Neither one of us have been to Palm Desert. That's not true. She has. She definitely has before you know, she was out here tripping, you know, before she met
me. Right.
No, I've
previous life.
Exactly. So I go out there. I've got a friend out there playing a bunch of golf that I want to try and coordinate. So if we can make this a twofer, even though primarily it would be for her birthday, baby, it's you, all about you. then that's what we'll try and do. We'll see.
Well, does she play golf? Yet, I should say. Does she play golf yet?
Yeah. So every member of her family golfs. And funny story, interesting story, humiliating story. The first time I met her father on the Cape in Massachusetts, we played a course
called... Shout out to the Cape.
Shout out to the Cape. We played a course called Old Barnstable. And gotta give him credit. Her dad aced one, his first ever playing against me. And it was, it was kind of this like, that's right, you better respect my daughter too, kind of thing. Right? As he's like reaching down into the hole, like,
yeah. That is the biggest hard-o dad
in my
move
house tonight.
Yeah. Oh my god, I've never been amazing to Old Barnstable, but I've heard pretty good things. And now that I've heard that there are aces to be had there, I have to check it out this summer.
Number six, 205, I believe. Wow. One hop.
Wow, hybrid. Wow. So impressive.
Yeah, that was. It was. I mean, it was impressive for him, sure. Not me, who had to record him reaching into the hole and pulling out his ball.
First round ever. But didn't that, isn't that good for you? Because you're kind of like a good luck charm now?
As long as he views me that way, then
okay.
Yeah. But I mean, not just him. Her mom plays. I don't think they would mind me saying their partners also play. Her brother plays. Her brother is getting his wife into the game. It's a family affair.
Oh, great.
So I really do have a great supporting group in her family. Like it genuinely does feel nice to be able to talk off. And before we were recording, I was sharing with you all that her mother was watching the Golf Channel and one of my commercials came on. So that was like, That was crazy.
Famous.
Oh,
awesome. Famous. That's like, that's legitimate fame. Commercial on the golf channels during the Players, too?
Yeah, for real.
That's big. That's huge.
Definitely.
That's what they tell me.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Yeah, great job.
Thank you. It's been a good week. It's kind of cool to see like the racist people from Facebook congratulating you. You know, like logging onto Facebook after a year and seeing I've got 109 notifications and most of them are congratulations. There's just something really extra sweet about that. So yeah. Cheers to you, Paul Six High School graduating class of 2008. Yes.
Well, that kind of brings us to, you know, our next question of how we all got here, how you got here on the Golf Channel and how we all got here talking to you on our podcast. So we just learned about you in January, but obviously there's been a lot of life that you've lived since before January. So bring us up to speed a little bit on what you've been doing up until then, like specifically your golf history and kind of how you got on the Golf Channel.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to take you through the timeline, I guess, here.
Yeah, we got time.
Okay.
The life.
Well, what time is the Zoom call? We have to be careful about that.
That I don't know. It sounds like a question for y'all.
No. For you.
No, your Zoom. Birthday Zoom. We don't have any plans after this.
Birthday Zoom.
Oh, the Zoom. Oh, that. for now. It's not until much later.
Oh, you are our plans.
Okay. All right.
All right.
We did not double book this.
Okay. I've been guilty of that. Oh, man.
It happens.
Trying to get it together over here. y'all have great questions. Okay. Started playing at age 13. I lived in a town that had a public course in it, and our neighborhood was right there. So, and I also grew up playing soccer. So I would run in the neighborhood. I was super active, always outside. So I'd run past the golf course and just out of curiosity, like I'd stop and watch these guys play a hole because they were right on the street and just kind of got an interest that way. Then my grandmother, who would watch tennis and golf every single weekend, watched the rise of the Williams sisters, watched the rise of Tiger Woods, and was like, here, choose which one you're going to do. It can either be golf or it can be tennis, and I will get you lessons, I will get you clubs, whatever you want to do, because it's possible. And that's also, I mean, I know that this small portion doesn't necessarily answer your question, but that's why when I'm trying to appeal to people who might not know what it means to be a minority in a sport that historically does not recognize you, it is so important to see someone that looks like you. It's so important, because if it weren't for the Williams sisters and it weren't for Tiger Woods, my grandmother telling me, you know, pick one of these two country club sports would have been crazy to me. But instead it was like, okay, yeah, I get it. I could do that, sure. So that was me as a young teen. Then high school, friends that I knew on the golf team invited me to come play with them and practice with them. I was terrible, but it was fun. riding around South Jersey, trying to play every municipal course we could find, being terrible at it. Then going, because the area I grew up in was so small, a lot of the guys that played the high school golf team also played on my college golf team. And it was this like familiarity, Brad, like, we know you suck, but it would be really cool to have you on the team. Can you just come try out? Like, just come and meet the coach. She's really cool. She is a great instructor. I think you guys would get along. And then I went to one practice, met her. She was like, hit this club, and handed me her driver. And I'd never hit a straight drive in my life, but I did right in front of her. And she was like, welcome to the team.
Wow. Performs under pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a professional actor.
When you say that you sucked, though, like, what kind of scores were you shooting? Like, to us, sucking, like, we know we are people who really, really suck at golf.
Yeah, like, we know bad.
You
know,
this is like triple digits, you know, like meltdowns, like barely keeping a score sometimes. So like that meltdowns. To us. So what do you define as sucking at golf?
My first ever 18 hole score was a 117. And I know that.
First ever?
That's not bad.
That's really not bad at all.
People play quite a bit of golf who shoot that score and it's like, okay. Hey, at least I kept score today.
Fair enough. Well,
for college golf though, what were you shooting probably?
In college, you know, the first year I did not, my scores did not count toward team scores in competition. I was there for moral support and for jokes on the bus, straight up. Like that's what I was there for. So I played 3 years total. My second year is when I started contributing, and I was still barely breaking 100, like barely. So it was like I was on that cusp of like, Brad, we love you, but I don't know if you're ready just yet. And I think junior year was the first time my scores had actually been counted. And I might even be able to Google it. I might be able to find my one contribution. I believe it was also a 117. Playing against college golfers was like super intimidating to me. I already knew what I was dealing with in practice with all of the jokes I was getting and all that fun stuff. But then to be thrust into a sport I've just kind of picked up in the last few years was really intimidating for me. But after college, I found my own relationship with golf. I started playing golf on my terms. And I'm in a much healthier place with golf now.
That's awesome. Do you look along? Do you belong to a club out there?
If the LA City Players Card Club is a club, then yeah.
Okay, that totally counts.
Yeah.
Public golf courses count as memberships, definitely.
No, bet. I mean, then I'm a member of Balboa, Roosevelt, Griffith, Harding, all those courses, I'm members there.
Love it. I mean, that's us in New York too. We go to all the AGC courses, take our clubs on the subway. It's fun. Used to anyway. Yeah.
Literally clubs on the subway. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
By any means all necessary. Over. Ubers are expensive. We have to travel at least 45 minutes to get to a course.
Yeah.
I just didn't know that like a New York City train would go that long. Like I kind of just felt like they all stayed in
They go pretty far.
It goes like 95% of the way. And then you can either like walk or take like a quick 10-minute Uber like at the end of it. Remember, okay, Jen, when we took it out to Brooklyn?
Well, y'all present it in such a way that's like so easily digestible and so inviting. And so like that's why I'm here. Like I watch your content or look at your content. I'm like, I'm reading your caption. Somebody, okay, I need one of you to confess who made that that Righteous Gemstones. I lost it at that Righteous Gemstones callback.
Thank you very much.
I mean, that was the inspiration for the event.
Dead serious, like part of the theme. Like, I mean, we've had several events that are basically like Danny McBride themed. So our Margaritas and Mulligans, essentially Kenny Powers themed event.
He was he was on our first promo for the event, remember?
He's one of my favorite people in the world, I think. Like,
do you know him?
I just really I'll watch anything he does. Like
she does not know him, no.
I don't know him. No. Do you know him?
No, I don't know, but I
should we veer back away from Danny McBride?
Yeah, yes.
We can go down. We can make
this is now a Danny McBride podcast. Yeah. Just dissecting everything. You said something though that I thought was interesting was that after college you started playing golf on your own terms, and I'm interested to know what that looked like and how you did that, and also how you didn't kind of like sour from the golf experience that you had that you didn't like, you know, like why did you stay with it and how did you find like your golf?
If it were not for my grandmother, I wouldn't be here. like for many, many reasons, but specifically about golf. There was a time where I, after graduation, 2012, I had suffered at the hands of bullies on my high school golf team and college golf team. Didn't perform well in competition. Basically felt humiliated. You know, I tried this sport, like I tried, and it just didn't give back. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I was slowly distancing myself from my college and high school friends at around 2013 and realized that the only thing that was holding us together was golf. So if it weren't for me, like, coming to my grandmother, telling her what my experience has been over the last several years, and her encouraging me and her saying, don't give up, I would have never touched another club. But what that looked like practically for me was much less golf. It was going to the course across the street from my house, maybe 3 times a year. Like I really didn't play much. When I moved to California in 2015, I didn't bring my clubs because I was playing infrequently anyway. So I was just like, it really wasn't a priority of mine. Plus I drove and there was no space in the car.
Logistics. So,
right.
Symbolic, yeah. And logistical decision there.
Exactly. That was the jumping off point. I was like, I'm not playing golf. This is, moved to California, got a job teaching and running the athletic department at a school in Glendale. And I missed those kids every day. Shout out to Incarnation. But one of my students, what was like the thing? Was I wearing? I wore a lot of golf stuff. Like I had like a Titleist hat. I had a pullover, and one of my students identified the logo and was like, "My dad wears that." And then I met the dad. They were new in town. They were ironically from New Jersey. Met the dad in carpool. He pulls up in the Oakley shades and the Titleist hat. He's like, "What's up, Wilson?" And we just start talking golf. We exchange now. We start talking golf. And I find out that he's got 2 kids who are nationally ranked junior players. So in the rules of the CYO, you only need 2 players to form a golf team. You just need 2 scores. Your top 2 scores are the ones that count. So immediately I thought of this girl and these 2 boys who were stud golfers already. And I was like, okay, we're about to sweep the CYO, baby. Let's go. but you know, like as a, you know, making the plan, I talked to my principal and telling him, you know, I want to start this golf program. We've got these 2 kids that are phenomenal golfers. I'm realizing like, okay, time's going to come where they're going to be like, okay, Mr. Wilson, let's see what you got. So I begged my mother to ship my clubs back. And 2016, we started that golf program. I'm happy to know that it's still going on. Wow. After I've left the school. And that resurgence, that working with that golf program and mentoring those kids, thank goodness for that dad, because he knows much more about golf than I do. But that golf program, those kids, like reignited that fire that I don't even know really existed. You know, it was like, now that I'm saying all this out loud, golf was a hobby. Golf was interesting. Golf was fun. Then I was made fun of for who I am. Funny how that works. So it really turned me off of it. So it's kind of, I really didn't have the fire until I worked with these kids.
The, yeah.
being able to teach a child how to swing a golf club really did it to me. And I'm getting emotional right now thinking about it.
I mean, yeah.
Well, that's really so nice. And honestly, I didn't know that like that gap existed, you know, if, you know, from today's Bradford Wilson to hear that you had like hung it up for a while is pretty powerful. You know, yeah. Like you literally rose from the ashes.
Right. When you said that you didn't play golf often, I still thought you were playing regularly. I thought you were going to say one time a week. But three times a year is a big difference.
Yeah.
And the other part I love about
now, but
yeah. No, the other part I love about that story is that it was your grandmother of all people keeping you in it, which is so cool. And you don't hear that often, but it's awesome when you do.
Yeah, my grandmother is a special, special woman. Like a true matriarch of our family. And what I love most about her is that the attention that she paid to me in that moment when I needed her the most, she gives equally to all of her grandchildren and all of her children. Like she is a giver. She is a nurturer. Mom, I hope you're listening.
She'll listen to this. She'll definitely listen to this.
Can we cut that segment so I can send that to her?
We'll send that separately. You can be like, that can be a Mother's Day card, actually. It can be an audio Mother's Day card. You know, send it maybe with a little graphic or something. Make it a little video. I don't know. Exactly. I love that. Wow. And that's also really funny. I didn't realize this. I wore tonight a necklace that was my grandmother's that I actually haven't worn yet because I was like, oh, this is going to be a good interview. And I wore it to kind of bring her with me. So shout out to the grandmothers. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. A circle right there.
Yeah. That's wild. That's crazy. Yeah.
So we have a good sense of, you know, your early golf days, your college golf days, your post-college days. How are we here now in 2021? Almost forgot what year it was. You know, you started this Bradford Wilson golf Instagram account in December of 2020. You know, what happened between the time of starting that golf team and now? And, you know, was it a light bulb that went off? Was it, you know, just things bubbling over? I'd love to hear kind of how you got here.
Yeah. I'd say since 2018, I started watching golf on YouTube a lot, like damn near every night. So watching, getting instruction from guys like Peter Finch and Rick Shields, and then fast forward to like last year when all I was doing was like trying not to cry at every moment. golf really provided this like it was an escape. It was an escape, really. Like that's what it was. I watched these videos, I'd scroll through and look at these memes and watch, you know, the reels, and you know, TikTok was big. I found a golf community on there. And like, I think we all would agree, it was all one note. It was all guys, mostly white guys, or golf babes.
Yeah.
And
like us. Yeah. Golf babes.
Yeah, like us, like hot girls like us, right?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I will never dole out that title to a woman. I will let them crown themselves.
No, I'm just kidding. We do not crown ourselves. We don't identify as golf babes. We're like the average Jane golfer, I think, is kind of how we.
I'm with that.
We felt the same way when we started playing. We were just like, we're not the LPGA or the golf babes. Like, why are those the only two options?
Where is everyone else?
Yeah, where are the regular chicks?
Right.
And enter Grutter Golf.
The world needs more regular girls. We're happy to fill that slot.
Well, that's also the thing. Like, there was a gap. Like, y'all noticed the gap. Enter Grutter Golf. I noticed a gap. Enter Bradford Wilson Golf. Like there was no one out there that I would literally be on YouTube and Google typing in black golfers, black golf YouTube, hip hop golf and coming up with nothing. And it was really frustrating. And I knew that I had experience personally with discrimination and bullying and a whole host of other things, you know, that I've experienced that I felt like I could speak to. Because I know I'm not the only one out there. I didn't know where the other people like me were, but I kind of had a sense that someone was out there that wanted to hear this. So December last year, I was playing with names of golf Instagram accounts I wanted to create. And I came up with a bunch of corny ones like Shots Fired. And
that would have been good for you.
I like that.
We Golf Too. And like Black Dude Golfs. Like, I was just typing stuff into Instagram. I didn't know. And Bradford Wilson Golf was the last thing that I thought it was going to be. Like, I was like, all right, that's so corny and on the nose. But it makes so much sense now because I really did carve out a lane. I did carve out a brand that I don't think exists in golf. And I'm really proud of that. And I'm proud that my name is on it.
Yeah.
Kiki, I'm sure you can speak to that too. Like, I'm Bruder Golf, we are here because of you.
Well, no, we are here because Jen decided to make fun of me. That's the reason why it's my name.
Bruder Golf flows so nicely.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and also, but the thing is now, I was actually just thinking this the other day in my kitchen because I spend so much time alone now. I was like, I feel like I am a Gruder now because people refer to us. They're like, oh, the Gruder girls. Oh, the Gruder girls. Like, Kiki's the only girl in her family of the children. You know, she has two brothers. And so now, where are the Gruder girls? And I feel, you know.
I mean, my parents think you guys are their children. Yeah. So
it's safe to say at this point that I think we all have ownership over, you know, the Gruder name. I feel like I could be a Gruder.
I love that.
Definitely.
My kid's middle name will be Gruder.
Jennifer Gruder. Because they're also I'm gonna have a junior too. I was thinking about this recently too.
That is the creepiest thing.
Why is that creepy? No,
Jen,
why is
that creepy?
I said that the other day.
All fans are creepy anyway. Like,
this is my daughter, Kirsten. Hi, I'm Kirsten. This is my daughter, Kirsten.
I know, but I'd make it less. I'd be like, oh, I'm Jen. This is Jennifer. You know, and then they'd have to ask.
Is there a name for that? Like the feminine junior?
I don't think it exists. Because it was never encouraged the other thing too is, now that we're on this, now that I've brought this up, I'm going to also say this. I feel like women have to do the brunt of the work and the hardest parts and don't get to then have the last name either, generally, you know, traditionally.
Or the juniors. Or
split them in half, you know, like half are going to be, you know, Corcoran's, half are going to be the other last name, you know. But
the patriarchy is trash.
The patriarchy is trash, but then what it's done to us at this point is then, you know, someone's saying it's creepy then to have, you know, a Jennifer Jr., you know, and it's like, but what
for
about
the record, I think all juniors are creepy.
Yeah,
I think it's weird.
I'm not saying you, I'm not saying, like, but it. I'm saying that's how, it. You know, that's how all of these systems work though. Right. They work their way, not like in, you know, de jure ways, right? It's not like an actual law. It's just that it works your way, like its way into your brain. And then you're trained to think like, oh, this is normal and this is not normal. And if I do something that's not normal, then I'm the weirdo all of a sudden, you know, even though my way makes perfect sense to me. Right. And like, who else should it matter to at that point? You know, this does fit into golf, I think.
I was gonna say, well, it kind of segues to our next topic, but I do want to get back to sort of your meteoric rise before we jump to the next topic, because, you know, starting in December, you already have a very strong following. You've already mentioned you were on a TV commercial today during the Players. Like, that's pretty impressive in 3 months' time. So, you know, kind of what are you up to? And like, what is your plan? What are your goals? Like, how are you doing?
Do you have
any tips for us? Took us a long ass time to get to 6,000 followers.
Well, here's, I don't put any energy into the numbers of it. And I think that works.
We don't either.
Well, because I pay attention more to who is following me than how many are following me. I feel like that's really where the influence happens. Your question was
what are your goals in starting Bradford Wilson Golf, and you know, because you've had such success, yeah, what are you up to? But because you've had the success in such a short amount of time, you know, what does that look like for you on a day-to-day basis? Like, what are you setting out to do on a given day as it relates to the account?
That's a great question. I don't know if I wake up with an objective. I know that I want to post something every day, whether it's something factual and historical, like the Calvin Pete thing, or a meme, or a reel, or another YouTube video that I've got in the queue. Like, I definitely, that's one thing I want to do, is try and post every day. But long term, I don't know. That's a great question. But I see myself, and this is true, this is in my heart, I see myself collaborating with Wilson Golf in some capacity.
Is that because you guys share the same name?
Yeah, literally. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
keep it in the family.
And it's important to me. I am my father's only son. That name is important to me. He's very important to me.
Wait, you're not a junior, are you?
I'm not. after you just shit on juniors for 10
roasting minutes. Juniors.
But my parents would like go out of their way to provide me with Wilson brand sports equipment when I was a kid, because it made me feel cool and special. Like, there's no Fitzpatrick Golf. You know, there's no, you know.
Surprised, actually.
Right. So anytime there was, you know, a sport I was playing, and I got to play with the Wilson basketball or Wilson soccer cleats or Wilson soccer shin guards. You know, like, that was cool to me. And, you know, through conversations with both of my parents, they're really proud that I'm now, like, starting a budding relationship with them. It's, you know, one of the only things my dad tells me he's proud of me of. So, I mean, it's really important to me. So long-term, I see, you know, working in some capacity with Wilson Golf, whatever that means. I do have ideas for them, that I won't share until there are dollar signs attached, but,
when the ink's dried, of course.
Yes. Yes. But for now, I want to collaborate with people that I think share similar views. I'm not looking to collaborate with large brands or large influencers if what they're doing and saying doesn't include people that look like me first, doesn't include women, and doesn't include the queer community. If you're not working toward that in some form or fashion, it's not for me. I feel very, very strongly about that. I've been fortunate to have conversations with very influential people in the golf space, and, you know, taken notes, and cool. You didn't bring up women this entire hour that we've been on the Zoom. No, dude. You know, like, those things matter to me. So I'm fortunate that I have a great job. I have a great partner, and I don't feel rushed to make any hasty decisions as far as, you know, what I'm doing. And I'm really holding, I'll plug this name again, I'm really holding Wilson to a very high standard.
Well, I love, as you were saying that, I love the fact that you can say no to them, right? That makes a huge difference. Like, that is changing something in and of itself, even though it might be small or unnoticeable to others.
I think it's important. I mean, and I'm not a golf professional. You know, I don't work in the industry. I don't have a PGA license or title. I'm a consumer. People call me an influencer, but I'm just a dude. Like, I'm just someone that has a big mouth that likes golf, and I'm going to call you out on your shit when I see it. And if that matters, and if that changes someone's opinion or changes someone's thought or view, then I'm all for that.
Yeah, which is so sick. And I mean, honestly, too, I think, like, you know, you saying that you started the Instagram account almost to, like, normalize seeing a black guy playing golf and, like, doing it in, like, a way that is almost similar to the way that the other accounts work. You know, you've got a lot of memes on there, right? And you've got a lot of kind of, like, GIFs and funny things, but it's primarily, you know, it's primarily black people in the GIFs, right? And even that in itself is so unique. And even seeing that uniqueness, seeing that uniqueness kind of tells you, like, oh, wow, like, why is this different than all the other, you know, 25 million meme pages I see? Oh, yeah, because, you know, in this one, like, it's speaking like a different, it's speaking the same language, but, like, with, like, different visual cues, that even that in of itself, like, it's all about kind of, like, working, you know, changing people's brains, right? Changing, like, the chemistry of the way that your brain works and recognizes what is golf content and what is not. And I mean, I think you're doing a great job with that already. So is that intentional? You were nodding a little bit there.
It is 1000% intentional, calculated. Like, one of my most liked memes has black drag queens in it. Like, that's important to me.
Yeah.
For that very reason. I'm so glad you broke it down like that, because I want to lure you in so that you laugh, but then you watch the thing three more times.
And then medicine's in the candy, like you said.
The medicine is in the candy. Exactly.
I stole that from you, but it's worth saying here.
Yeah, the medicine is in the candy. I'm going to lure you in, and then while you're on my page laughing at my memes, you realize, oh, like, I haven't seen a white person on here at all. And it's not like F white people, because I don't feel that way, but it's, I'm going to exalt black people.
Yeah.
And if I get an idea for a meme and it makes sense for a video that I have saved in my hard drive, then I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
And I hope it's, you know, I hope it works with a black person. You know, that's really what I'm trying to do. You nailed it.
So totally. And I think too, you know, I like that you said, you know, I'm not trying to say, like, you know, like, fuck white people. Is that what he said? I don't know. I'm not trying to say that. I'm trying to exalt black people. And I think that a lot of times, on the internet, especially, white people might mistake exalting black people as saying fuck white people, which is not true and is not what you're saying at all. And I think that we actually, a few weeks back, got a little tag team in the comment section on a golf.com post.
I'm so glad you're bringing that up.
Hey.
Well, because we did eventually want to talk about Dear Golf, obviously, just because it kind of was like almost like a supercut of everything wrong with golf packed into a neat 16 minutes. That's so enjoyable and fun to watch. But you also learn something and you get also hyped up. It's like just a real range of emotions. I know that all the listeners at this point have done their homework and watched it. But one of the things too is the comment sections, and that's been, I'm like such a troll. I don't know. I just love like reading. I read comment sections, everything on the newspaper, you know, like the comment section is where you see what people actually think, right? It's like unedited and it's the people that are the problems most of the time.
Yeah.
Are going to be writing the comment section. And that particular post, was about, was it Tanika Sandiford, who is Amy Olsen's caddy. She's from the Bahamas. She's actually a spectacular athlete in her own right. When she was caddying for Amy during the US Open, I looked her up because I was like, who's this chick? Like, you know, like they have a really, they've been working together for years. She was like a competitive basketball player. Mm-hmm. She also plays golf. Like there's a lot to her story. She's very newsworthy. But there was a post about her and it, you know, it said something about, you know, being the only black caddy. She was also the only black woman at the US Open.
Right.
That's why I looked her up because I was like, who's this? You yes. know, like, especially this year was a year to be looking at that. Right. Yes. So in rooms where nothing, there
was also Black History Month.
Also that it was Black History Month. So, you know, seemed like an appropriate post. Right. However, people, the comment section was full of people saying like, oh, again with the black thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're all pink inside.
Oh my God.
Who cares what color you are?
Who cares what the ball doesn't care what color you are? And it's like, okay, well, yeah, the ball doesn't care about anything, right? The ball.
It's a ball.
What the fuck? Like, I think it's just, so I don't know. Like, how did you feel about when you read through all that shit? Like, what is that? How does that register for you? I mean, we get a sense of it in Dear Golf, but
yeah, that thank goodness for my therapist because reading the comment sections in, you know, whether it be Golf Monthly or golf.com or Golf Digest or whatever these large golf media outlets, Instagram, whatever it is about these pages brings out such a nasty, ugly side of people. And thank goodness for my therapist because I can't help myself but to go to these comments, but then I'm triggered and then I bring it up in therapy. That's how, but that's, so that's how it, that's how I receive it. But I find myself, being drawn to those comment sections, not just for the sake of being argumentative, but for the sake of trying to shed light on something that somebody might not know. Like, why is it gotta be all about her? There are tons of successful black people in golf. Ever heard of Tiger Woods? Well, okay, buddy. But first of all,
have you ever heard of Tiger Woods though?
Right.
Have you heard of him? He's black. He's successful.
Is he?
You must know him, right?
Car salesman, right? Yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah. So it's I take those opportunities to be like, hey man, thank you so much for this comment. But did you know that there was a Caucasian only clause that was only lifted a mere 55 years ago? And did you know that it's Black History Month? And did you know? Did you know? So I use those opportunities to try and get to the root of whatever that person is really upset about. And sometimes, you know, it'll be 12 to 20 relays back and forth. And then once we get to that final crumb of what is it that you are taking so personally about this post that they can't answer, then it's like, ha, got you. Dummy.
Yeah. And I mean, I think too, you know, one of the things that like I've been really marinating on lately, especially last week with the Arnold Palmer Invitational, I think is a really great kind of example. Like golf prides itself in being super into history, right? History and tradition. And, you know, we respect the greats that have come before us. We're actually so obsessed with them that we get, you know, tattoos in honor of them. And we like name our kids and our dogs after them. You know, like everybody is like, oh my God, like Arnold Palmer was God. Jack Nicklaus was God. You know, like Gary Player is on every five commercials that you see. But what I think a lot of people forget is like those guys had contemporaries who were black, who were literally denied the opportunities that those guys had to win all those times.
Right.
You know, like at the time that Jack Nicklaus was winning everything, black guys weren't allowed to play against him all the time.
Right.
You know, like, and that's the history that we're like missing out on. And that's
and
like,
he knew about it.
Exactly. You and know, like, yeah, Gary Player was an ally sometimes when it was convenient.
Sometimes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, when it worked for him, yes. But was he withdrawing from tournaments because Popwell wasn't allowed? No. You know, and right. I mean, it's tough, obviously, you know.
I think you know,
revisionist history is easy.
you know, like, I get it, like, being revolutionary and being white and being a man and being a golfer came with expectations at that time. And yeah. It was probably a new thing for a Jack Nicklaus or an Arnold Palmer to partner with Rolex, you know,
yeah.
or American Express. And then for them to say, you know, I don't think I'm going to play in this tournament. Okay, you're not going to play. We're going to take your house. You know, like,
right. I don't it's his livelihood too.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's impossible to really, like, you know, say too much about like that, but still, so I think that, but you know, to say that is mostly to say, like, when we're doing things now, you know, like, who are we forgetting? Who are we leaving behind or leaving out? And how can we, like, what will make us, you know, like, look favorably upon ourselves in, you know, 50 years from now, you know, yeah. that's
even 5 years from now,
even right. 5 years from now. Right. And, I think that one of the groups that actually you've brought in via Dear Golf Part Two, you're wearing a t-shirt that says I'm rooting for everybody black and trans throughout that video.
That's right.
And you're wearing a t-shirt right now. What that is,
it says black trans lives matter.
Black trans lives matter. And, you know, so, you know, your highlighting of, you know, like a very, you know, forgotten and discriminated against, perhaps one of the most discriminated against segments of the population, bringing that into golf, I think was one of the most powerful things that I've seen since I've started playing. Even just wearing that t-shirt in that video was like a complete act of defiance that might shock some people in the golf world. And I think it was probably the first time that, and the only time I've seen golf content that mentioned the word trans that wasn't, you know, somehow ending with a joke about Caitlyn Jenner playing from the forward tees.
Right.
You know, that's how trans people are, you know, Caitlyn Jenner is the only trans person that the golf world reference. Knows about. Right. Like that's it. And so I don't, was that like a conscious decision to wear that shirt in that video? Or, I mean, clearly you always are wearing something
yeah,
like that.
For sure. I mean, like, so I spent a large part of the summer of 2020 protesting and also ordering social justice t-shirts. So I've got a stockpile.
You did 2020, right?
Yes. And I wear them proudly every day in Dear Golf. The first part, I was wearing a t-shirt that was a screen print of an old Black Panther pamphlet. And so just a quick nod to the Black Panthers. If you've ever been a part of a breakfast program at your local public school, you have the Black Panthers to thank for that. Whether you're black, white, whatever you are, wherever you live in this country, you have the Black Panthers to thank for free breakfast. So that was absolutely calculated in both videos. And I was, after the success of the first one, I knew that I wanted to wear that one in this video because I knew more eyes would be on it. And I want people to know what I'm about. And I don't want to make any mistakes about that. Even within my own intersection of being a cisgendered, straight, black man, sometimes the message can get lost because they see that I'm being funny and take that as like an invitation to get their jokes off. And it's like, hold on. Yeah. Did you not see my video? did you not read my bio? Do you not see the yeah. trans flag in my bio? So at any opportunity that I have, any platform that I have, I'm going to use it to promote that and to at very least promote awareness of where I stand. So that if someone's watching me and saying, wow, Brad's doing cool stuff, it's also taking into account that I support the transgender community. And I hope that at least just opens people's minds and eyes.
Yeah, which I think it hopefully has or should or
and will.
You know.
and will.
Yeah.
You know, even just that first like exposure, like this guy doing something that I like, oh, I haven't really looked into that. You know what I mean? That's not something that's like crossed my radar in terms of like my own perception of like how inclusive I am, right? How inclusive is my golf?
Yeah.
Like, and like even us, like this year we were like, you know, we haven't actively said like we're inviting people. Like we always were like, oh yeah, like everyone, you know, but it was very like 90s Gap ad everyone, right? It was like, you know, like you need to decide that it's for you because you, you know, whatever, you know, that we're just saying it, right? Yeah. But like how, you know, explicit do we have to be? And like we're like, all right, let's get explicit about it, you know? Yeah. Like literally here, we'll rattle off everyone who's invited to play with us. You right. know?
That's the issue with all these golf companies now that more or less control the industry. I think they think that they're inviting to everyone because they don't call anyone out specifically, but really they're only asking the people that look like golfers today to play golf. So
right.
Jen's absolutely right. Like you have to take it one step further and call out exactly who you want to come to the game. And that's obviously yeah. what you're doing in those videos and wearing those shirts and whatnot.
Right. And if you're going to sit through the 16 minutes or however long the videos are, if you're going to watch them and try and learn something from it, you're going to get that message. Like I'm going to put you through sitting there watching me talk with the word trans on my shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at it. Look at it. Make no mistakes about where I stand. And I don't know how explicit you have to be. Like, I don't know from, you know, reaching out to a trans person and asking like, hey, do you necessarily need me to put the flag in my bio for you to know that I'm an ally? Or is that, you know, is that important to you? My hope is that I'm promoting it in such a way that it is.
Mm-hmm.
But until there's I won't say market, but until there's greater promotion or greater or programs dedicated to getting the queer community in golf, I don't know. I don't know where to go. I don't know who to reach out to.
Right. Yeah. There's like, I'm not aware of a, you know, Trans Golf Alliance. If there is there one or something?
I hope that there is.
I mean, not start one, but fund one or something. I don't know. Right. Find fund for one.
Maybe this is a homework assignment for us.
I don't want to take it. I want someone, I think there should be a trans leader for the Trans Golf Alliance, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. We want to support
can we
it.
Can we contribute any sort of support, you know, like that?
Right.
You know,
and it's, and the direction. I'm going to tell you the minute that becomes a reality, I'm going to promote it at every opportunity
and every single partner we have
go up. Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
So we love you. We support you. Come forward. We're looking for you.
Come play golf. Golf.
Come play golf with us.
But actually on that note, I guess, so it's obviously, and hearing you talk too about the way that your grandmother, you know, saw Tiger Woods and the Williams sisters and that representation literally led you into the sport through her support. Obviously just representation is absolutely huge. But what does that path, like, do you know what that path kind of looks like to a more inclusive golf world? I mean, you know, it started obviously with, you know, with Tiger Woods to some degree, right? But like, what does it look like for us to get to, you know, a golf world that looks a little bit more like LA or looks a little bit more like New York City? And like walking down a street in one of those cities, you know, how do we kind of build that?
I don't know that I have all of the answers, but I do know that.
You don't? Dude, what the fuck? That's why we brought you on here.
Right. I know. I'm sorry. I'm woefully underprepared. I do know that it starts with kids. And the easiest thing that you can do is at your local public course, make golf free for kids. Just make it free. Let them come after school and hit buckets of balls for free. Just because you have the course, you have the driving range, you have the practice facility. These families pay taxes in this county. Let the kids golf for free. I think that is priority number one, because then that brings in kids from all walks of life. If you are you kidding me? Parents are looking for children to do after school activities. And if there's a program in place where there are instructors or counselors or whatever that looks like to monitor these kids for an hour and a half, I'm a nanny in LA. I know what that looks like. Like these parents are desperate for after school programs. Golf, you're missing it. You're missing out. Make golf free for kids. And that's something I wish that programs like the First Tee would adopt. I'll leave that to the First Tee program. But next, I think is a program that allows kids to either shadow a caddy or become a training program to becoming caddies themselves, because caddying puts you on a golf course. It puts you next to people with means, people with a Rolodex, and people that can't afford to give out opportunities to kids, whether it's in golf or not. You know, you might, as a kid, you might finesse your way into an internship at a Fortune 500 company just because you caddied for this guy one time. Then next thing you know, you're a tech billionaire, you know, like, you know, you just never know, but it has to be more accessible for kids. That's how you start.
Yeah.
That's great. I don't think enough people put it that way, right? Like you might say kids programs, but you don't really hear anyone going that far and making it free. That just has so many ripple effects.
And there's more than enough.
We'd see play out beyond golf.
Right. I was going to say there's more than enough money to make that happen. Like golf courses are always constructing a part of an addition to the clubhouse, putting a bunker in the middle of fairway 15. Like what, do we need that bunker? Changing the tee box. Do we need to change that tee box, or can we fund a free golf program for 3 years? Which is more important to you?
Yeah. Actually, that's an interesting concept to bring up to kind of some of these like she private clubs with members who are, you know, claiming to hop on the woke bandwagon. Yeah. You know, because those are the clubs when we had Christine Frazier, who's a golf course architect, on the pod.
She was phenomenal.
She was talking about how, she's like the coolest person in the world. Like you guys are the two coolest people in the world. she's the coolest girl and you're the coolest boy. Hey, but she was saying, you know, that a lot of in renovations that she's worked on that, you know, sometimes the renovation that is being done is not necessary, you know, for the course itself. It's more about somebody on the board, the president that year wanting to make his mark. And it's always his mark too. It's never her mark. It is the president making his mark on the course and leaving some sort of legacy project.
Junior's project, junior's bunker.
It's junior, the junior,
the an third, extension the of junior.
Right.
The fourth. So that ends up being what it is. And I mean, I think, I don't know. I hope that the things that we're talking about are making it up to those levels of golf, because I think that's, I mean, you know, public courses are one thing, you know, there's not, I don't think that there's like a ton of money floating around there. I think at these private courses, I mean, you know, the Massachusetts, LA is rife with, you know, all sorts of like world-class courses with literally billionaires playing at them. And how do we get to them? You know,
I'm going to keep dropping my mouth until we do.
Nice.
I got a big ass mouth. I'm gonna keep using it till somebody hears it.
I love that. It's tough because we talked to you really all night, but I don't know. Do we want to get into? Do we want to get into the fun stuff? Microdosing and being an actor.
Sure.
Let's give the people what they want.
Les, I know. I feel. So many things. But yeah. Let's hop to that. Top of the micro. Who wants to do? Kiki, you want to take the micro dose?
I know. I haven't been talking much because I feel like I've been like you guys have been frozen so much. But can you hear me?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we can hear you. Fine. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Maybe it's coming out now, but I didn't want to. So Bradford,
I was wondering why you're so quiet over there.
Well, see, now you guys are freezing so much.
Oh,
no. See,
Yeah, you did actually freeze there. Sorry. I was like, oh. All right, try it again. Try it one more time. Let's see. Let's see.
I mean, you guys are very frozen for me right now.
Can
you
hear really? Me? Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, hear you, but
just do it.
But okay.
Just say the question quick and then he'll be able to do the answer. Okay, and then we'll still get you in there.
So Bradford, we heard from you that you are on a microdosing journey right now. We're very curious to hear all about this. How did it start? What made you start it? And how's it going?
I'll answer in reverse order. It's going great. This is my second journey with microdosing. I forget the second question, but it started in at the top of the year. Wow. Yeah, I think January 2nd or 3rd. I have a friend, my editor of Dear Golf.
Oh my God, shout out.
Shout out to Diogo. I love you, boy. He is someone who is very well versed in that kind of thing. He's like tapped in with shamans and he's like really educated on how that stuff works.
Wow.
And we need to get him on next, I think.
Diogo is one of the most interesting humans I've ever met.
Cool.
Wow. It's a lot coming from you.
Yeah. No, he really is. Every time I've known him for 3, maybe 4 years, and every time I see him physically, I learn something new about a career that he's had. Like, I know his wife is a chiropractor, but I didn't know he was also a chiropractor. So there's that.
All types of editing going on.
Right.
Edit your spine.
Body edits. Yes. So top of the year. I just reached out to him like, hey, I know like this is a thing that you're into. What can you tell me about it? I'm interested in trying it. And he was like, yes, I've been waiting for you to say something. Because he and I have created multiple little like mini series where we just get like super weird.
And wait, I've seen the cat one.
You saw the cat one.
Okay. The cat one is so funny. Everybody go
what
to
what is the cat
is,
one?
I think it's, is it on your Instagram or his Instagram? It's I think you posted it to your story at one point.
Yeah.
And it's really it's like Bradford is his cat and he like turns into a person and it's like a like they're little shorts. They're like minute bite-sized things. Yeah. And it's like as we've already discussed, I love like absurdist humor, like off the wall, like hilarity, and that's it. Yeah. So funny. You can tell people probably better than I can what it was.
So you can go to at whale splosion on Instagram. and that's where you'll find Lumpy Cat and Bastet's test. So Bastet is the ancient Egyptian goddess. Takes the form of a cat, and in this skit, the Bastet is cursed, and Diogo's cat comes to life, and Diogo doesn't know that his cat is actually a black man. So, so I come to life, and I have about 30 seconds to tell my human everything that I've been trying to tell him for the last 8 years, however long I've been alive. So I try to get it all out in one breath, and Diogo is just like completely taken aback. So if you're into absurdist humor and you're into cats and you want to see me in some leopard yoga pants, then
it's really funny. Because I was like perched lake. Up on the couch like a cat would be, like you perch like over him, like on
I perched
the couch
on
like
the cat's actual like scratch post at one point.
It's really,
oh my God,
really, really good.
Yeah. So we were talking about microdosing.
So you did that before you started microdosing, though. I think the listeners, it's important to establish the timeline here.
Yeah.
The cat.
So the pretending to be the cat thing happened prior. So prior to the groundwork was laid.
Unrelated.
Yeah. The groundwork was ripe for microdosing to just come in and explode. So I've been January the whole month, I took it in capsule form. There were functional mushrooms and then whimsical mushrooms, and you switch them on and off to allow your body to recover and adapt and do its thing. And so on and so forth. But I, so the month of February, I took off, and now March, and I'm back in. And okay. this time it's in gummy form.
Ooh.
Oh. Yeah. So basically, for those who are not versed in microdosing, it's not very complicated. It's just a very small dose of psychedelics in this point, in this example. And I found that the benefit has been unlocking like an extra 0.5% of my brain function. Like, and I truly feel that way. Like, I think we only use like 10% of our brains.
And hearts.
And hearts. I was waiting for somebody. I was
waiting for somebody. You walked me into that. I fell for it.
Yes.
I feel like a fool.
No, that is exactly what I set you up for. So yeah, just like a 0.5% better function, like more access to like my humor, my creativity. Yeah. That's really where the I've noticed the biggest uptick. And here I am on day 12 of this second round, and I feel great.
Wow. Do you like buy, where do you get them? Do you have to get them from like a guy, or do you go to the store?
Yeah.
In California.
Yeah. I mean, in California, they're not posted up like Apple stores, like the,
yeah.
like
the
so dispensaries annoying. Are.
Yeah.
There are Instagram accounts you can go to. That's where we got the gummies. The Instagram account will lead you to another Instagram account, which will lead you to another Instagram account. That kind of thing.
Love.
And so that's where we got the gummies, and then the capsules I got from the shaman.
Of course.
Is there a reason that you went to the gummies and didn't stick with the capsules?
Yeah, the gummies were for Mandy, and then she declined, so I took them.
Looks like we're doing round two.
Yes.
We don't want to waste things, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
I hate food waste. Wow, that's all. I mean, my interest has peaked. It has been for a while anyway. So
the thing waiting
for the push.
Yeah, like, and something you should know is like, it's not like a full trip.
Yeah.
It's barely noticeable, to be honest with you. It's literally just that awareness and that access to whatever that thing is that you're looking, whether it's organization or focus or creativity in my case, like that's the thing that's going to be dialed up a little bit. And you don't feel high. Like I can still drive a car. I can still work. Yeah. I can still, you know.
Did you have any moments maybe at the beginning when your body was still getting used to it where you're like, uh-oh?
Yeah, that first one was like, this is you. Hello.
So I'm guessing you probably had a clear schedule for that day, but otherwise it's been fine.
I didn't. Maybe should have. I would have enjoyed it more, but
I want to what? Well, I guess we would know. It'd be January 1st. We'll go back and check out what content you put out that day.
Yeah, that'll tell you for sure.
Wow, that's I love that. So you're also in LA, which we mentioned before, and so you're like a full-time actor. You're like a working actor. I know you do, you know, like you've got an agent I heard that does like, you know, hooks you up with golf stuff too. But, you know, aside from your stuff with your cat stuff plus the golf stuff, is there anything else that you're like looking to get into or you're into now or that people should check out or?
Most of the things that, you know what, 2018, did y'all watch New Girl at all?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So it's one of my favorite sitcoms ever.
It's one of the best ones.
It really is.
It's kind a sleeper hit too.
It's a sleeper. They don't miss. There is not one bad episode. They do not miss.
It's true.
Shout out to Elizabeth Merriweather. Love you, girl. So I want to say like summer 2018, Lamorne Morris, the actor who played Winston in the show, posted, hey, this is like the anniversary of the first episode of New Girl is coming up this month. Who can turn New Girl into a drama? And I took that as a personal challenge. And I don't know how much like Instagram filmmaking. So I follow this filmmaker Morgan Cooper. He turned the trailer of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air into a reimagining of a drama. And I was inspired by that and immediately hit up Diogo. I was like, yo, Lamorne just said turn New Girl into a drama. Let's do it. And showed him the Morgan Cooper Fresh Prince thing. And I banged out a script that night. Like, yo, what do you think of this? This is super dope. Like, I'll play Winston. You have a cat. Let's do it. And we created New Girl. And it got into a ton of festivals. And I won a Best Actor award for playing Winston.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's big time.
And decorated.
Yeah, and Diogo won a bunch of director awards for that. And I'm really, really proud of that. That's really the thing about being in LA and being tapped into the acting community is that I've been able to find a community that I can just call and be like, yo, I have this wild idea. What do you guys think about making it this weekend? And they'll do it. Wow. Like, it's really cool to have a commercial out right now. It's not the first one, thankfully, but it's really cool that this is happening now. But the thing that motivates me and keeps me coming back is the stuff that I'm able to create independently.
Yeah.
That.
I mean, that's pretty sick. That sounds exhilarating. We have an idea actually that we'll talk to you about after this. But I have a few ideas actually that I could use a person who I just call up and say, hey, got an idea. Okay, we're coming into the twilight of the episode here because we also know you've got a big night of Zooms ahead of you, celebratory Zooms. Yes. But I'm also interested to know based on your acting chops and everything, do you have any movie recommendations for the listeners and us? Or any other kind of TV recommendations, or really any recommendations in general? Anything you recommend?
YouTube videos?
Anything really?
I'll plug Willsplosion. Everything that we've talked about, like that I've been a part of, lives on Willsplosion's either Instagram or YouTube. I never get tired of saying Willsplosion.
Can you explain where did Willsplosion come from? Am I afraid to ask?
I wish I knew. Diogo created this production company before we met, but that's the kind of quirkiness that he brings to the table.
I love him already.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to meet him
for sure. let's see. I just finished Ted Lasso on Apple.
I heard awesome things. I've not seen it. Good.
It is so delightful. It's just a delightful show. And I think Jason Sudeikis, I think his character in the show is from Kansas City, Missouri. I think he is also. But there's just a lovability, a likability about his character and about him. And it's unique to guys like Jason Bateman and Paul Rudd and Jason Sudeikis. So it's just like, I want to punch you and hug you at the same time. Like, why are you always so funny and you say the right things at all? I just hate that it's coming from your face. The show really, man, you really root for the guy. You really do. It's such a delightful show. I can't recommend it highly enough. Because I'm obsessed with this show, if you're into comedy and you're into improv and you're into competition shows, reality, if you're into Broadway, if you're into theater, you need to be watching RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh.
If you are into any of those things that I've just named, just enter into it with no ego, no expectations, and just sit back and be prepared to be entertained.
It is like what Project Runway like should have been, essentially.
Yes.
Like, I wish they had skipped Project Runway and gone straight to RuPaul, because it is everything that Project Runway was like trying to be, and Project Runway thought that it was like super quirky and like
it really
stressful
did.
And dramatic. And then like RuPaul's Drag Race came around and was like, oh, did you think that you were doing that? Because that's what this is. And it's like times 1 million.
Yeah. These people bring such an incredible level of creativity and comedy. That's unique to being told that you ain't shit for all of your life. Like there's something unique about somebody that's been in that position. Like there's just such a fuel to to get back at all those people, make them laugh, that I believe is unique to drag queens that I just cannot get enough of. And I can't wait till I can go to a show again in person. I need my drag brunch.
Oh my God, actually, Bradford.
Okay, good, you're not frozen. Okay.
I stumbled into a drag show in Miami this past weekend. We were walking up Ocean Drive, and it was basically outside, and we just stopped, my boyfriend and I. We watched the whole thing. It was really awesome. So funny. It's great.
Do you remember who the queen was?
No, I don't remember her name because we didn't really get to see the beginning of it. We'd walked in like right in the middle of it, so we kind of missed like the announcements of like all their names. They were just kind of like in the middle, but yeah, it was very entertaining.
I love that. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, it was really fun. I was really and I literally was thinking about you. I was like, oh wow, I can't wait to bring this up to Bradford when we talk to him on Friday. Oh, can't wait to tell him about it.
I'm humbled.
Well, I mean, that could be an idea for, you know, maybe a golf course should host a drag brunch.
That could be fun.
That is an explicit way to show that you are down for the cause.
I'm going to tell you, the conversation is already being had.
Okay, you need to tell us when.
I know. So
we'll fly out.
The House of Latrae, based here in West Hollywood, I happen to be close personal friends with one of the drag babies in that family. So, Nick, I love you. We're going to get on the golf course. And here's the thing I want people to know about my affinity for drag culture. I have no interest in myself becoming a drag queen. I'm fascinated by these artists. I'm fascinated by them. And it's no different than your favorite comedian or favorite singer. Like I'm genuinely, I was in a protest here in Hollywood and was marching next to a queen for about a mile and was sweating bullets because I was so starstruck. That is like the same way I would sweat next to LeBron James. That's how I felt next to this queen.
Yeah.
When did you meet LeBron James?
Rise Nation. I actually have worked out next to LeBron James once.
Wow. What was that like? Working out next to him?
Yeah. I mean, he sweats a lot.
I'd be so scared.
It was a VersaClimber gym, you know, where it's like SoulCycle for VersaClimbers.
Oh, I've only heard about those. Those are nuts. You were doing that next to LeBron James?
Yeah.
That is such a visual.
He introduced himself.
That's
as
like a
LJ.
Weird dream.
Yeah.
He introduced himself as LJ?
LJ. As if we didn't know who he was.
Yeah. Dude, if you're gonna use like a code name, like maybe make it a little different. And then people be like, wow, that guy Mike looks just like LeBron James. Isn't that weird? Who's this Chris guy? Doesn't he look kind of familiar?
Right. Mike says his name's Mike, but he has L and J tattooed on his triceps.
What's all over his body.
Yeah. It King says James. James family on his back. What is that about?
Oh, that's so good. All right. So to wrap things up, we can't let you leave without having you answer the questions that we ask every guest. So the first one is, what is your favorite club in the bag?
My putter.
Strong answer. That's always a very confident answer. If you're like loving the putter, then like there's a good deal of finesse there.
There's a backstory. So I've been in contact with the Wilson team. Before that, though, I had this putter in the bag. It's the Windy City edition of their like infinite putter line. I went to Roger Dunn and put and used this putter, and I just liked it. I liked the weight. I liked the length, 33 inches. It just, it worked. I liked it. I felt confident. I went on their website last week and found out that it's a ladies' putter. So, I mean, it also begs the question, what is a ladies' putter?
That was going to be my question, but yeah.
But, fantastic question.
But I do know that they have it labeled as the ladies' putter on their website. I did buy it in person, so I didn't see that it was labeled that way. But I only realized that after I got the tracking info on a package that Wilson sent me, and there was a putter on it. So I looked it up. I'm like, Wilson sending me a putter. What is this? And then it says men's putter. And then I go over to lady. I see, oh, that's my putter. So my putter is my favorite club in the bag. And Wilson, thank you for this new one you're about to send me. But this Windy City edition ladies putter staying in the bag.
Nice. I mean, that is an important note that, you know, a lot of equipment, golf is just, I feel like it genders its way into every single aspect. Like things that don't need to be gendered become gendered, right, somehow in golf.
Can you hit the club, I mean, or not? Like, damn.
Yeah, it should be more about like size, swing speed, weight, you know, what's comfortable to you, etc. But, you know, another fight for another day, I guess.
Right.
What is your favorite nightclub or bar or restaurant? And this can be from pre-COVID times.
I'm going to throw back to the year 2006, Extreme Nightclub, age 16 through 18. That teen nightclub scene was fire.
The best time to be going to a nightclub, really. The only people that can truly enjoy a nightclub,
right?
For what it is.
Like, my pop would break me off with $20. That was enough for me to get a couple of Coca-Colas.
Wow. Get wild.
Right. And a couple of dances. That was, man, Wayne was coming into his own around 2006. Chris Brown.
The height.
T-Pain. The
golden era.
Oh, yeah. That was Extreme Nightclub, Washington Township, New Jersey. Shout out to you.
Excellent.
That another was Sandstorm really was big, answer. Too.
I didn't hear any 06. Of that.
And then the final question, and I'm really excited to hear this answer. Dream foursome, living or dead, celebrity or non-celebrity, golfer or non-golfer.
Oh, I love that question.
So many different directions you could go in.
James Baldwin, Robin Williams, and my grandfather.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my dream foursome.
That's a killer foursome.
That is a good mix. I don't know why I was surprised to hear you put like writers and actors in your foursome. I should know after 2 hours of spending time with you.
Did James Baldwin ever say anything about golf?
I don't think he even knows what golf is. I don't think he's
Well, then that would make things really interesting. I'd love to hear his take.
I would. I discovered him too late in life, you know, like our lives
everyone did because it wasn't in school.
Right.
You know, that's why is Baldwin not on, you know, curriculums and everything.
Required reading. That's what it should be. He's a wordsmith, and Robin Williams is literally the reason that I even thought acting was a possibility. Like, he's the guy to me.
Wow.
It's not Denzel. It's not Will Smith. It's not Jamie Foxx. It's Robin Williams.
Hell yeah. RIP. Wow. I wish this wasn't over. You have to come back because I feel like we still have so much to talk about, honestly.
We had a lot of tangents we had to cut off there.
I know. We went wild.
I know. Well, I can't wait to hang out IRL once everyone gets shots in their arms. We're really gunning to get to the West Coast as soon as possible, maybe as soon as the fall even. So we'll definitely obviously keep you posted when that happens. But if you're ever on the East Coast too, you've got people to hang out with, golf with, microdose with, whatever. Yeah, thank you so very much for coming on. We sincerely appreciate it. Appreciate the time.
Ladies, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. So everybody, thanks for tuning in. You can find Brad Wilson at Bradford Wilson Golf. I'll put all this up. I'm gonna cut this anyway. You know where to find him. We'll put it in the show notes. whatever. So till next time, hang loose, swing easy, and we will see you out there. Later, bye.
Hi. We did it.
I did it. I feel so good now that I was somewhere else.